From Michigan Radio, I'm Lester Graham with Michigan Watch. There's no shortage of love stories from World War II, but here's one you've not heard before. Bill Berkeley is my neighbor. Bill was just a kid without a care in Paducah, Kentucky, until December 7th, 1941.
We interrupt this broadcast and bring you this important bulletin from the United Press. Flash, Washington. The White House announces Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor.
I was 14 years old, but I can remember that day just like it was yesterday. We had been playing football, and I got home, and Mom was crying.
The U.S. Armed Forces were small at the time, and recruitment was intense.
Never in all history has the call for defenders of freedom been so urgent as at this moment.
All his life, Bill wanted to join the Navy. It was a family tradition. But you had to be 17, and even then you had to have your parents' permission. Bill was just going to have to wait. He eventually went to work as a railroad brakeman on a steam locomotive. In peacetime, there's no way a 16-year-old would get that kind of job, but there was a real shortage of workers during the war. Every day, Bill would take the bus to and from the rail yards, and coming home, he'd be covered in grime, wearing a sweaty red bandana around his neck. His face would be covered in coal soot. But there was a pretty girl on the bus, and every once in a while, they'd exchange glances. One day, Bill decided he needed to make a better impression with her. He dressed up, and he walked to the bus stop.
And there I was, looking like a Philadelphia lawyer in my Sunday best. She had never seen me cleaned up. I said, "Hi there." I said, "Are you wondering if I'm the railroad guy?" She said, "Yeah, I never saw you looking like this."
Bill Berkeley and Clara Odell Gilbert started dating. He's always just called her Odie. Bill kept working with the railroad, even after being scalded badly during an accident in the locomotive. But he knew he wouldn't be on the rails too much longer.
I joined the Navy on my 17th birthday, still with bandages on my leg from being scalded.
By that time in the war, the military was taking just about anyone, injured or not. After brief training, he got a short leave before shipping out for the war.
Went home for 7 days. That's when I proposed. I'm sorry about this. That's when I proposed to my oldie.
I wish I could stay here. He said it soft and low. But duty is calling. And now I must go.
She promised to wait for me. And looking back, that was a terrible thing to do to a young woman, leaving her, but she was true.
With leave too quickly over, Bill had to catch a troop transport headed for Hawaii. Just 2.5 years after hearing about the terrible attack on Pearl Harbor as a kid, Bill was actually there.
And I saw firsthand. We went right down Battleship Row. I remember these big battleships laying over on their side. I remember very distinctly the Arizona sitting down in that water, twisted guns and metal. That was a terrible sight to a 17-year-old.
2,400 people killed in that attack. Half of them were on the Arizona. The young Navy man was assigned to the USS Zeus, a battle damage repair ship. It anchored at a small atoll named Eniwetok in the Marshall Islands that the U.S. had invaded just a short time before.
American sea power, probably the greatest naval force ever assembled, heads for our first land penetration of Japanese territory, the Marshall Islands.
Bill said the crew spent the days repairing ships and the nights trying to shoot down Japanese bombers who flew just above the reach of the anti-aircraft guns. Suddenly, battleships and carriers started coming in with damage from a new Japanese tactic.
Because we saw the kamikaze planes. You take a perfectly good-looking Japanese young man, they have brainwashed him into killing himself in a plane full of dynamite. He'd do anything.
He lost a boot camp buddy named Jim Gorman to a kamikaze attack. But throughout his time overseas, Bill says he had an advantage over his shipmates. He had Odie.
And she wrote me every other day. We'd have the mail call, and that mail clerk said, "Damn, Berkeley," said, "that woman really loves you, don't she?" I said, "Yes, she does." Every other day I'd get a letter.
You'd be so nice to come home to.
After the war in Europe ended, some of the resources were shifted from there to the Pacific. But really, no one was sure how much longer the war would continue, how many more soldiers, sailors, and Marines would be killed. Then everything changed.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima.
That was President Harry Truman announcing the first of two nuclear explosions on the Japanese mainland. That was in August. The Japanese formally surrendered in September. Bill's ship left the Marshall Islands in December. He called Odie as soon as he reached the West Coast. Now, keep in mind, Bill and Odie dated for less than a year before he left for the war. Her dad barely knew Bill. So Odie, who was 18 at the time, concocted a little story about a trip she planned.
She told him she was going down to Arkansas to see his brother. And she had no such intention. That train didn't even slow down in Arkansas. Heading for San Diego.
In other words, she was headed to see Bill. Her mom knew what was going on. She even signed permission for the 18-year-old to get married. But first, Odie would have to find Bill in a really overcrowded train station.
I saw her before she saw me. It had been over 2 years since she saw me. And she walked down the steps of the train, looking around, nothing but sailors and soldiers and Marines and... And she turned around right in front of me. I put my arms around her. She turned around and I said, "Lady, are you looking for me?" And she just jumped up and down yelling. I'll never forget it. Prettiest sight you ever saw. My darling, 69 years. 69 years. She's in a nursing home now. She's doing pretty good. We got married in San Diego, April the 9th, 1946.
He says when he visits Odie in the nursing home, she does remember him despite her struggle with dementia. As for Bill, these days he gets around in a motorized chair. He gardens a little bit. He doesn't spend a lot of time talking about the war. He talks about his kids, his grandkids, his great-grandkids, and about a lifetime with the teenage girl he met who waited for him and who married him. He talks about the things that matter in life for those who survived World War II. I'm Lester Graham, Michigan Radio News.